So we're very happy to be here at the Vishnu Paramal Coil. Once our most worshipable Guru Dev Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, what is the value of this chanting? And Srila Prabhupada very forcefully replied, it saves you, he said it stops death. What is the meaning of this? Can you hear okay? Are you listening in English or Tamil? What is the meaning of this? Because we see that people who chant the names of Krishna, they also die. That's what we see. But if we see with the eyes of spiritual knowledge, then we understand that people who chant Hare Krishna, they don't die. Now, what is the meaning of death? Death means that the body dies. The soul never dies. But people who identify with the body, they think that someone has died. But someone who knows that I am not the body doesn't think that I'm dying. The body is the temporary residence for the soul. So there's nothing to lament, actually, if someone dies. Because they don't really die. And a Vaishnava, or someone who's chanting the holy name, they leave this body to go to Krishna in the spiritual world. Whereas someone who's not chanting Hare Krishna gets another body within the 84 lakh species of life. So a person who identifies with this body, they feel as if I am dying. Because they think this body is me and now the body is dying. But a devotee knows that I am in the hands of Krishna. Just like there is a song by our great Acharya Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kisho Jivane Morane Gati Anahimo. He says that Radha and Krishna, they are my very life. They are called Yugal Kisho. Do you know this term in Tamil? Do they say this, Yugal Kisho? No, they don't say that. It means Radha and Krishna, the young couple who are joined together, spiritual couple.
Yugal Kisho is that.
So Narottam Das says that in living or in death, I have no goal other than them. Because for a devotee, he only desires to serve Krishna in any existence. So those who chant Hare Krishna, they go to Krishna in the spiritual world. But it may be, if the devotee has some material attachment, they may take birth in this material world again. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another great acharya, he sings, Kita janma hao jatha tuadat, bahimukha brahma janme nahi mora ash. He says that, if I have to be born, then I can be born as a bug, if I'm your devotee. But I would rather be a bug and be a devotee of Krishna than be a Brahma and not be a devotee of Krishna. Now, who would like to be born in their next life as a bug? Who would like to be born as Brahma? It's a much better position, isn't it? To be Brahma is a much better position than to be a bug. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, better to be a bug and be a devotee than to be a Brahma and not a devotee. So we may ask, well, how can a bug be a devotee of Krishna? Well, the monkeys of Rama, they were also devotees. And even the squirrel became a devotee by performing service to Lord Rama. And by nature, every jiva is a devotee of Krishna. Bhagavan Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Yeah, we are all the living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. So, even in the body of a bug, it's possible to be a devotee of Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada, he saw some bug is in his room, and he told his servant, you take on the leaf and you put it outside and you chant Hare Krishna to it. Let him so it will hear Hare Krishna. Now the little bug, if you chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't understand what you're saying. But nevertheless, the jiva in the body of that tamaguni, body of a bug, is immensely benefited by hearing the holy names of Krishna. If we chant the names of Krishna, then all living beings are benefited. Even if they don't know.
அவை அவர்களின் நன்மையை புரிய முடியாததால் கூட.
Or even if they don't like chanting Hare Krishna, there is still their benefit. Some people are opposed to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Sometimes when we go in the street chanting Hare Krishna, people block their ears and run away. But it's too late. They already heard Hare Krishna. Here in India, still some people are so pious that when they see the chanting party, they offer full dandavat. This we see mostly in Bengal and Orissa, where there is the cult, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture of chanting Hare Krishna. But we also see it here in Tamil Nadu among the followers of Ramanujacharya. Because Sri Ramanujacharya, he taught the culture of respect for the Vaishnavas and respect for the holy name. So we see many followers of Sri Ramanujacharya, even today, they don't care what anyone thinks. Right in the middle of the city, in the bus stand, anywhere, if they see devotees, then they'll offer. So this is the very great culture of Krishna consciousness. Of course, the chanting of Hare Krishna should be accompanied by pure living. I was saying that in Bengal and Orissa, many people even today, they like to chant Hare Krishna and have great respect for that. When I was, 20 years old, I first started traveling for preaching in Bengal. Now, previous to that, I'd been preaching Krishna consciousness or assisting in the preaching in England. So in England there were some followers of Srila Prabhupada and we were chanting Hare Krishna in different places. And there weren't that many devotees of Krishna, but it was beginning by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So all the devotees strictly followed the principles of Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada had instructed us to do so. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. And in fact, most of the people who joined the movement were vegetarians before they joined. And in that time, there weren't that many vegetarians in England and America. So, even though there weren't that many devotees in England, it became very famous in England.
Krishna
because the English people were very shocked to see their own youth of their own people take up what they thought was some Indian culture and dress in a strange way and sing these funny names in the street. But it became well known very quickly that the Hare Krishna people are all
vegetarian. And
in fact, among vegetarians in the Western world, they all know the best food is the Hare Krishna food. So anyway, I came to Bengal, and prior to that, we'd been chanting in the streets in different places in England and Ireland. And responses vary. Some people ignored us. Many people stared at us. Some people would call bad names. Inevitably, some drunken person would come and join with us and chant with us. That happens still, even in India, almost every time some drunkard comes and starts dancing with us. So anyway, there are various responses, but when I went to Bengal and especially to Bangladesh, sometimes whole villages of people would come out and they'd join chanting with us, and they were just really enthusiastic and very, very respectful to us. So this was something wonderful. So in England, that neutral, we could say what we call a lukewarm response, or madhyamic, not very positive response, and then in Bengal we found people there just really very enthusiastically accepting us. Lots of people coming, very enthusiastic. But I became surprised to learn that most of the people, or almost all the people who were enthusiastically joining with us in Kirtan in Bengal, were fish eaters. It's very difficult for me to understand. In fact, I still find it difficult to understand. And people are enthusiastic for chanting the holy names of Krishna, but they like to eat fish. So they can't really get the proper benefit from chanting Hare Krishna if they don't follow all the principles properly. So anyway, this Vaishnava dharma is spread throughout parts of India, all over India, more or less. And it's practiced in various forms throughout the country. Here in Tamil Nadu, the people like big temples and archan and very formal kind of worship. And the deities of Balaji and Ranganathan and the Varada Raja, these are all very famous. Then in Kerala, especially Guruvayurappan, and then there's also the Thiruvananthapuram, the Anantapadmanabha temple. Then in Karnataka, the Udupi Krishna temple is very famous. In Maharashtra, mostly the Vaishnav culture is centered on Vithal Panduranga. Vithoba. In Gujarat, the Vaishnav culture, Gujarat and Rajasthan, the Vaishnav culture is centered on Srinathji. Dwarka is also there, and the Dakor, the famous Vishnu temple. Throughout most of the, or all of the vast Hindi-speaking area, we find that the Ram Leela is very popular. And also worship of Radha and Krishna. And as I was saying, in Bengal and Odisha, the Gaudiya Vaishnav culture is very widely spread. In Assam, they worship Rukmini Krishna. So like this, the Vaishnav culture is very widely spread. And it's also mixed up in many places with worship of various gods and goddesses. And in the in the modern age, there are many new bogus gurus and goddesses, and all this big khichdi is called Hinduism. Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world not exactly to teach Hinduism. But he came to teach Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. This subject is the actual subject of knowledge. It is all auspicious. And it destroys or it uproots the threefold misery. Namely, adhyatmic, those pertaining to the body and mind. Adhibhotic, that caused by other living beings. And adhidaivik, that caused by natural disturbance. Srila Prabhupada came to teach the absolute truth. Who is Krishna? Now, generally people think Krishna is a Hindu god or an Indian god. This is a misunderstanding. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Param Brahma, we can say. He is the Param Satya. He is Parameshvara. Now generally, when we hear this word Parameshwaran, we think of Lord Shiva. That name is associated with Lord Shiva. And the name Parameshwari is associated with his wife. Well, that's true in one sense. They are the supreme controllers, but within the scope of this material world. But the fully complete Parameshwar is Bhagavan Vishnu. And the real Parameshwari is Radha. Because she controls Krishna by love. Krishna is the supreme controller of millions of universes. But he is controlled by the love of his devotees. So this is the truth that we all require to understand. If we understand this simple fact that we are all servants of Krishna, and if we serve him, then we can go to Krishna. But we have to understand all these principles properly. As Bhagavan Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. Now this word tatvataha means to understand properly. If we have misunderstandings about Krishna, then we won't get Krishna. If we chant Hare Krishna, but we think that Krishna is just one among many gods, we won't get Krishna. Bhagavan Krishna is in everyone's heart. And he knows our consciousness. So if we're calling out Krishna, but we're thinking Krishna is one of the many gods, then Krishna will think, oh, they're not calling me, I'm not that. So we have to know who Krishna is. And that Srila Prabhupada came to teach. He came to give systematic knowledge of who is Bhagavan and the process of serving him. So like I was saying, in Bengal, many people they like to chant Hare Krishna, but they also like to eat fish. This is not the teachings of Bhagavad Gita or of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Patrang Pushpang Palangto Yam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Padahang Bhakti Upaharitam Ashnami Prayatak. So, one of the items that Bhagavan Krishna says we can offer to him is fruit. So, certain people have come up with the idea that fish are the fruit of the Ganga. You see, just like you go to the tree and you take the fruit, you go to the river and you take the fish. But this is a misunderstanding. But many people like to misunderstand. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. People think, well, that's a bit tough. So let's adjust it a little bit. Either we'll say, well, you don't really have to surrender fully. Or we'll redefine what it means to surrender
fully.
We'll say, yes, I'm doing bhakti. See, we take fruit, food. Fruit of the river. So the tendency is to misinterpret or to change everything. So Srila Prabhupada, he is a pure devotee of Krishna and he gave the full and highest truth of Krishna and surrender to Krishna. And if we take that message, then we can go to Krishna. We can achieve the perfection of life, which is to attain pure love of Krishna. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But we also have to follow the process of bhakti as it's given by the acharya. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, Yeyata mang prabhadyante tang tathaiva bhajami aham.
Krishna Bhagavad Gita
If we give ourselves 50% to Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate 50%. If we give ourselves 100% to Krishna, Krishna gives, he reciprocates 100%. But what's really needed is to give ourselves 100% to Krishna. That is the meaning of Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. So people often they say, well, you know, gradually. So, yeah, it can be gradually. Due to our material attachments, we may find it difficult to fully surrender to Krishna immediately. But don't make it too gradual. We make it so gradual that so it becomes a process that we're going to drag on for millions of lifetimes. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can go to Krishna in this very life. But we have to be very serious to surrender to Krishna. There's always some distraction. Our attention is diverted elsewhere. Especially in modern life, everything is very complex. In modern life, from the early age, you have to study very hard. And so when you're studying, you can't concentrate on bhakti. We find many times students, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but then their final exams, they're chanting mala every day, and their final exams come, and no time for chanting, they have to study. Then you have to work very hard to pay off all your debts for studying. Then you get married and you get a family and you purchase a house and you have more debt. So there's all this pressure and no time to concentrate on bhakti. Then you have children to look after. I mean, of course you can do bhakti side by side, but then we have to be very careful not to be distracted by so many different things. Then finally, the children grow older and you've paid off all your debts and now you're old and you have time to chant Hare Krishna. But then, you know, there's always something comes up, you know, in grandchildren. And so... we have to make the focus of our life that I must be very serious to chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead in this life. I've got some news for all of you. You're all going to die soon. People think, oh, Swamiji has cursed us. It's not a curse, it's just a statement of reality, that's all. Generally when you give a blessing, you say, Ayushman Bhava. Live a long life. But Krishna consciousness is by the process by which we can have a very long life, unlimited life in the spiritual world. The actual fact is that we're all going to die soon. Maybe you know the story of Markandeya Rishi, who was meditating. He was meditating outside in the wind and the rain and the heat and the cold and the snow and everything. Now Markandeya Rishi was really Ayushman. And he was very, had lots of hairs on his head and all over his body and long beard. And every one hair would fall out at every life of Brahma. And he is to live until all his hair fall out. So he was asked, why don't you build some shelter? So, you know, you're meditating here. He said, well, I'm not going to live very long, so what's the point? I can't waste time building a shelter. I've got more important things to do, is to meditate on Bhagavan. So we're all thinking, oh, I've got plenty of time. But compared to Markandeya Rishi, our life is like that. Kshanam. Kshanik. Just like that. Zoom. It's like a fly that goes zoom. Your purse is whoop. So fast. It's gone. But by this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in this very short life in Kali Yuga, if we chant Hare Krishna and we're serious about bhakti, we can go back to Godhead without any difficulty. So please chant Hare Krishna, take it serious. Nothing is important in this world except chanting Hare Krishna. Everything else is just Maya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Namina kichu nahi kavar chodda bhuvana maje. Within the 14 worlds, there is nothing but the holiness. Now, this doesn't mean that we should stop eating or stop other activities. But we should understand the importance of this bhakti. We should stop something. Anything which distracts us from Krishna, we should stop. So yes, actually we should stop eating. We should stop eating anything except Krishna Prasad. But we should not waste time with, reading newspapers and discussing politics and sports and so many things which are just a diversion from bhakti. So it's very good news that we're all going to die soon. If we are very serious about Krishna bhakti, because that means we can go to Krishna. But even if we lead a very long life, but we don't have bhakti, then what's the use? Taravo kingna jivanti, Sukadeva Goswami says, do the trees not live? The trees live a very long life. There was in the Calcutta Botanical Garden, until recently, there was a banyan tree that was said to be 5,000 years old. And then that recently that finished. In America, they have redwood trees, huge trees, hundreds of years old. The tree is so big that the road goes that way, and they build a tunnel through the tree. So the tree lives a long time. But what is the use of living a life very long without Krishna bhakti?
இவ்வாறாக இந்த அற்புதமான காலங்கள் வாழ்ந்தால் கூட சிக்ஷபக்தி இல்லாமல் வாழக்கூடிய வாழ்க்கைக்கு என்ன பயம்?
Better that we have a even a short life. In Bhagavatam is given the incident of Maharaj Khatvanga. He was actually a great devotee of Krishna, but he got diverted into fighting for the demigods against the devas against the asuras. So after a long time fighting, and then the asuras were defeated. And then the devas, they wanted to give some boon to Maharaj Khatvanga. So he could have asked for anything, but he asked a very intelligent question. He said, well, how much time do I have left to live? And they said, just a moment, actually. So he went down to earth, which is a better place for God realization, and in that moment that was left, he meditated on Krishna and went to Krishna. So he understood the proper value of time. Ayo harati vai pungsan udyanasan chayana so tasyate takshano nita utama shloka vartaye. Do you know this verse? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says similarly. Udita tapana hoile aste din gelo bole hoibe aste tobe ken hoibe olasho hoi na bhaja hridaya vaje. The sun has risen and set. When the sun rises, everyone becomes busy, working. And then at the end of the day, you say, the sun sets, you say, okay, the day has gone. But we don't consider that the sun is cutting away our span of life. So we're so busy, but why aren't we busy to worship Krishna, who is the Lord of our heart? Actually, this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching. It's a very beautiful song. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written so many beautiful songs, which they give us it's like a entry to the spiritual world. I was telling you, in my youth I was in Bengal, and I wanted to learn Bengali to relish the Vaishnav Sangeetam, especially of Narottam Das and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would begin his day. Udilo Aruna Purava Bhage Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage. As this the Arunodaya, before the dawn. They all know this word, Arunodaya. It means before the sunrise, just gradually the light comes and it becomes red. It's called Arunodaya. So just at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which, along with Arunodaya, there was Gaurodaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get up. And take him, Bhakata Shamoha Laya Shate Gala Nagara Braja. He would take his, all his devotees, and he would go in the towns and the villages, early morning.
And the Adihaya Vyati, Bhakwan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhakta,
he would go to Ilana Hara Ravana Tatai, Tatai, Bajalo, Kal, they would sound the Ridanga. Ghana ghana tahe janjara ro, and the sound of the janja.
That's all they get,
yeah, not exactly karta. But and preme ghala ghala shonara anga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden body would shimmer in preme. And charane nupura bhaje, and then at his Sri Charan, the Nupur is making the sound. Nupur means the ankle bell. Mukunda Madhava Jadava Hari Boleno Bolore Bodana Bhari. All the devotees would chant these names, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari. And they would ask other people to also chant these names, Mukunda Madhava. Then Mukunda Madhava, Bolina Bolore, Bolina Bhari, Vichiri Namashana. What's the next line? Ebena Bhajale Jashoda Sutra, Charame Kore Belaji. That if you don't Emona Dualaba Manava, Emona Dualaba Manava Sandra, Paya Kikara. Yeah. Now you have attained this human form of life, why don't you worship Krishna? If you don't worship the son of Yashoda, then you will fall into a shameful position. So that I was just saying, that you're spending your lives very busily, but why don't you be busy to worship Krishna? This life is temporary. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preaching in the, through the words of Bhaktivinoda
Thakur.
And there are many dangers and difficulties in this life. We all have this experience, there are many difficulties in life. What do you think? We have here Jai Govinda Ram Prabhu, Gurunath Gopal Prabhu. They've had long lives, so. Well, what do you think? Life in this world is very miserable without Krishna
consciousness.
So he says, Nama Shroy Kari Jyotir, therefore take shelter of the holy name very carefully. And taka apamakaja. Whatever you're doing, you can do that. If you're doing business, do business. If you're working for the government, work for the government. Whatever you're doing, you can go on with that, but you must take bhakti in your life and chant Hare Krishna. Jivera kalana sadhana kam jagate ashaye madhurna. It's very beautiful poetic language. That the holy name, which is very sweet, has come to this world for the sake of benefiting all the jivas.
பகவானின் இனிமையான லாபம் இந்த பௌதிக உலகத்தில் ஜீவாத்மாக்களை நன்மைக்காக உலகத்துக்கு கொண்டு வரப்பட்டிருக்கிறது.
And Abhidya Timira Tapana Rupe Hridga Gane Viraja. In our heart, which is like this, is black, like the sky, it's dark, but the sun of the holy name has arisen to illuminate the darkness within our heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna Nam Sudha Karyatan, drink the nectar of the holiness. And Jurao Bhakati Vinoda Prabhu. In this way, Bhaktivinoda, I'll be very satisfied if you chant Hare
Krishna.
Nam Vina Kichu Nahi Kavara Chodha Bhuvana Maja. There's nothing but the holy name in all the 14 worlds. Become free from death by going to Krishna. And even in this life, in this miserable material world, we can live happily by serving Krishna.
In the Bhavadi
But we have to do that very soon. To get the full effect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Does anyone have any question about this?
He says that from Srila Prabhupada understand that in section we are able to understand chanting Hare Krishna and so many positions, but even our devotees sometimes continuously are not able to chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Why don't we have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed this point. Nam nama kali bahudha nija sarva shakti tatra pita niyamita smaranena kava ita drishita va kripa bhagavan namapi jo daiva mi drishami hajani nahulaga. Please get the translation.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sustava Sri Govinda Bahwane Namakan Paravidaman Nama Rikinana in the Nama Yeravana Sakti Rikinana in the Rikinana in the Buddhism the Nama Kavachi Samanaka.
So he says, it's durdaiva, it's my misfortune that I don't have taste for the name. That durdaiva means that we've been materially contaminated for many births. We can't expect to go from being contaminated to being a Paramahamsa just in 1 second. But we have to have faith in the process of bhakti and go on with the process and gradually we'll make it. That makes sense, doesn't it? It's not translated. That makes sense, doesn't it? You know, it's relatively easy to put on tilak. But it's not so easy just to, you know, all of a sudden become overwhelmed with Krishna prema. So wearing tilak is a sign of our commitment to follow the process of bhakti. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But we are trying.
கண்டிப்பாக நாம் தீட்சித்துவம் காண்பிக்கிறோம்.
See, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they're mostly from the Western countries.
Srila Prabhupada is from many other countries,
and it's a bit of a rough culture. Very competitive kind of culture. So, in the Western world, it's not uncommon for people to get into fist fights. Is that there in Russia also? In Russia also, people, they, you know, if they don't, if they get angry with someone, they'll just. We don't see that so much in India.
India
sometimes, but not so much. So, especially we don't expect sadhus to get in fights. So, you know, that even though Prabhupada's disciples, they were chanting Hare Krishna, but to, you know, that tendency to quarrel and fight, that was quite strong also, some, in some of them. So once one Indian gentleman came to Srila Prabhupada and he was very shocked. He said that, well, two of your disciples, they're fighting, they're physically fighting. He couldn't imagine, you see, someone's got dhoti and tilak and, you know, they're... So Prabhupada said, are you surprised that they're fighting? I'm surprised that they're chanting Hare Krishna. So it's a gradual process. We have to go on with faith. And even if you like fighting, you can still be a devotee. You could become a monkey in the army of Lord Rama. They're all great devotees. We shouldn't think that the monkeys who are fighting for Lord Rama, like ordinary monkeys, they're all very great worshipable Vaishnavas. So there are different moods among devotees also. Queen Rukmini is very gently and sweetly acting as the wife, the ideal wife of Krishna in Dwaraka. Satyabhama, she's also a wife in Dwaraka, but she's very hot tempered. That's not like your wife if she gets hot tempered. That's different because she's fully perfect transcendental devotee of Krishna. But Krishna enjoys the sweet serving mood of Rukmini and the headstrong Satyabhama. As Rama, he accepts the service of Lakshman and Hanuman and Sushena and so many devotees. As Vamana Dev, he enjoyed having some crooked kind of behavior with Bali Maharaj. So, the Lord can be served in many ways. But the purity of heart is required. The anger of Hanuman, that is worshipable. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that Krodha is one of the three gates to hell. But by remembering the anger of Hanuman in burning Lanka, we become freed from mundane anger. Jai Vajrang Vali Kida. Hare Krishna. Any other question? He's a Mukta Purush. Shyamchandra is Mukta Purush. He's been to Muktina. He came back with a broken foot. So it looks like he didn't get fully free from all his prarabdha karma. Of course, we just chant Hare Krishna. And then
he says in Mahabharata and Ramana something they are able to see so much that we are seeing that devotees are they eat meat.
Yeah, they do.
And if I have a seva, right?
The Kshatriyas, they would sometimes eat meat, some of them. Not taking it from the butcher. But they would hunt the animals in the forest. That also to bring down the number of wild animals so the rishis could live peacefully. And also to practice killing. Because they have to be ready to kill in a battle. So it's if you're not practiced, then you can't do it. So the animals, they would be offered in sacrifice, the killed animals, and the Kshatriyas, they would take meat. So not every day, but occasionally. So that's allowable for Kshatriyas. Generally, the pure devotees don't do that, but some pure devotees may be meat eaters also. When we come into the Paramal Koil, what's the first thing we do? We offer obeisances to Garuda Auda. He's not vegetarian. At least in this world, he eats snakes and various creatures. We're talking about Ram Leela. Well, Jatayu is a great devotee of Lord Ram. He's also not a vegetarian. So the general prescription for Vaishnavas is that we offer food to Krishna, patram pushpam phalam thayam. But some devotees, by their nature or their service, due to their bodily form, they may not be vegetarian. That is not the general case. Not for you. Don't you start eating meat. Today someone asked me, who's in a better position spiritually? Someone who chants Hare Krishna, but who is not following very strictly, maybe they're, you know, eating meat or something, and someone who's strictly following all the principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, but they're not devotees, they may be Mayavadis. So the answer is very clearly that a fallen devotee is much better situated than a very pure in character Mayavadi. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhu reva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. You can translate this. Even if a devotee is fallen, if he is sworn to the principle of surrendering to Krishna, then he is properly situated. And even someone else who recognizes that, they also become purified very quickly. Of course, you are asking about various kshatriyas eating meat. So then, it may be different in different circumstances, not necessarily that they're fallen.
Kshatriya